Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
If you say that you're depressed, that appears unspiritual. You see, you're not a spiritual man. Christians shouldn't be depressed. Christians, we are happy, happy, happy. That's who we are. Tell that to Moses. Say that to Elijah. Speak it to David. Talk to Job. Happy, happy, happy. No, sometimes we're overwhelmed.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
In 1835, a man visited a doctor in Florence, Italy. The man was filled with anxiety. He was exhausted for lack of sleep. He couldn't eat, and he even avoided his friends. The doctor examined him and found him to be in prime physical condition. So the doctor concluded that what the patient needed was he needed to have a good time. The physician told him that the circus was in town and that its star performer was a clown named Grimaldi. Night after night, it appears that the people, the doctor said, were rolling in the aisles, laughing at the brilliance of the clown. He said, "You must go and you must see him. Grimaldi is the funniest clown in the world. He will make you laugh and he will cure your sadness." And the despondent man looked up and said, "No, he won't. I am Grimaldi." A 179 years later, one of the world's funniest clowns, Robin Williams, hung himself in his bedroom. Once again, depression had reared its ugly head. Depression is a long, twisting road in the dark, with no landmarks, no exits, no destination, marked only by discouragement and despondency and despair. And depression has become a full-blown epidemic in the United States. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, you and I have a lifetime risk of developing major or clinical depression, about 17%, which means one in six of us, roughly, will become clinically depressed. Every year, 17 million American adults and 2 million American teenagers report major or clinical depression. Depression is now the leading cause of disability in the United States. Depression costs our country $55 billion a year in lowered productivity and lost work hours. Antidepressants have soared 400% since 1988. It has to make you wonder, is the United States the world's most depressed nation? Well, according to the World Health Organization and Harvard Medical School, they polled 14 major countries, including countries like Lebanon, Mexico, and Nigeria. And that's right, once again, we ranked number one. Therefore, I would guess that personal fear of depression is a real concern, or should be, for us. Times change. In the Middle Ages, for most of the time, a person who was depressed had melancholia. They were melancholy. And then from the 1930s to the 1970s, the term that many of you, at least by looking at your age, many of you would recognize as the term that was used was a nervous breakdown. What I want to do is I want to explore this area of depression and how we overcome our fear of it. In fact, how do we overcome it? The first thing I want to talk about is the experience of depression. The experience of depression. You see, it's much more common than you think. Listen to these words. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my own wretchedness. Numbers 11, Moses. Lord, take my life now, please. 1 Kings 19, Elijah. Isn't it interesting, by the way, that Moses and Elijah both show up on the Mount of Transfiguration in the honored positions with the Lord? David, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into a drought, the drought of summer. And not just great biblical characters like Moses and Elijah and David. Martin Luther suffered from bouts of depression, so much so that his family members would hide implements in the house which they thought Luther might harm himself with. Luther wrote that sometimes when he went into a depressed state, for more than a week at a time, Christ was wholly lost to me. John Knox, the great Scottish reformer. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit and please put an end to my miserable life. Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, preached a sermon on Isaiah 41, verse 14, which basically says, do not fear, I will help you. And this is what he said in his introduction. He said, I have to speak to myself today. And he says, and while I shall be endeavoring to encourage those who are distressed and downhearted, I shall be preaching, I trust, to myself, for I need something which shall cheer my heart. Why? I cannot tell. Wherefore? I do not know. But I have a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that's buffeting me. My soul was cast down within me. I feel as I'd rather die than live. All that God has done by me seems to be forgotten, and my spirit sags and my courage breaks down. Please, I need your prayers. I would imagine his congregation was shocked. The experience of depression is common. Even among the very best of us, Moses, Elijah, David, Luther, Knox, Spurgeon, the expression of depression, the expression of depression is consistent. I want you to turn with me to Job chapter 3. And there's something you need to understand in this context of this chapter. As tremendous of men as Moses was, and Elijah, and David, and Luther, and Knox, and Spurgeon, they really don't compare to Job. Job is the most righteous man on the planet. That's not my opinion, that's what God said. God said, Job is it, the most righteous man. Well, you know what he went through. You know what happened in his life. He lost his servants. He lost his wealth. He lost his 10 children. He lost his relationship with his wife, who told him to curse God and die. He lost his self-esteem. He lost the respect of his friends. He completely lost his health. And he finds himself outside the city, sitting in a dump with a clay pot, scraping the sores on his body. And he's depressed. And Job expresses it about as keenly as anyone, but consistently with everyone else. The first thing that Job does in the first 10 verses of chapter 3 is he asks this question: why was I ever born? Why was I ever born? Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, let the day perish on which I was born, and the night which said, a boy is conceived. May that day be darkness. Let not God above care for it, nor light shine on it. Let darkness and black gloom claim it. Let a cloud settle on it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful shout enter it. Let those curse it who curse the day, who are prepared to rouse Leviathan or the beast. Let the stars of its twilight be darkened. He said, let it wait for light, but have none. Neither let it see the breaking dawn, because it did not shut the opening of my mother's womb or hide trouble from my eyes. Wow, that's the most righteous man on earth. Why was I ever born? The despair of what depression can do. He then moves to a second question. Why did I survive? He says, why did I not die at birth, come forth from the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me, and why the breast that I should suck? For now I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept then. I would have been at rest with kings and with counselors, he said, of the earth, who rebuilt ruins for themselves, or with princes, he says, who has gold, who were filling their houses with silver, or like a miscarriage which is discarded. I would not be as infants that never saw light. He says, there the wicked cease from raging, and there the weary are at rest. The prisoners are at ease together. They do not hear the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there, and the slave is free from his master. Wow. Not only why was I ever born, but why did I survive? It would be so much better to be dead. Don't forget, this is the most righteous man on earth speaking. But he's depressed. Then he asked the question, the third one, why am I alive? Verse 20, why is light given to him who suffers, and life to the bitter soul, who long for death, but there is none, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice greatly and exult when they find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God has hedged in? For my groanings comes, he says, at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. He said, for what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I am not at rest. The turmoil comes. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I don't find any point to my life. the most righteous man on earth. The expression of depression happens even to the best of us. Listen to this. I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human race, there would not be one cheerful face on earth. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not. To remain as I am is impossible. It appears to me I must die to be better. Abraham Lincoln. The expression of depression, despair, despondency. The experience of depression is common and the expression of depression is consistent. What's the point? What's the point of me being alive? What are the explanations for depression? What causes us to have these periods of depression in our life? Sometimes there are situational causes. Saul hating David and then hunting him down, making him a fugitive. David then separated from everybody he loved and all of his security systems, and he finds himself alone and on the run. And he expresses over and over again in the Psalms his despair, his depression. Elijah, after having one of the great moments of his life as a prophet, slaying the priest of Baal, finds out that Jezebel is now after him. And like a coward, he runs. And he runs into solitude and he hides. And that's why he said to God, please take my life. He becomes depressed. Sometimes there are situational causes. A phone call. A diagnosis. Information. And you find yourself battling it. Sometimes there are systemic causes. Chronic illness. Feeling poorly day in, day out. Week in and week out. Month in and month out. Year in and year out. And it doesn't seem to ever get better. The same thing can happen with financial difficulties. We never get ahead. Nothing ever gets better. We're always where we are. A bad marriage. There it is. A bad marriage to me can be like Chinese water torture. Every single day, just a little bit of agony. Drop, 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 drop. It just keeps up and keeps up, and we can find ourselves depressed. Because sometimes there are systemic and chronic causes. Sometimes there are satanic causes. That's what happened to Job. See, what Job didn't know is God and Satan had a conversation, and God mentioned Job. I always think, Lord, please don't mention me in that light. But he said, this is the most righteous man on earth. And Lucifer said, really? That's because he has everything. Why wouldn't he be? God said, no, he's righteous. You can do anything you want to him, and he'll still be righteous, but you can't take his life. Remember the Apostle Paul? He said that a messenger of Satan came and buffeted him. He had his thorn in the flesh. Sometimes you not only have systemic causes, but you have satanic causes. And fourthly, sometimes there are spiritual causes. In Job's case, God was testing Job. God often tests us. He brings circumstances into our life so that we can see where we are, how authentic our faith is, not for God's sake, but for our sake. There are other kinds of spiritual causes. For instance, you start living carnally, and then the reaping and sowing principle comes in. And so you start reaping what you sow, and what you sow is not good, and what you reap is even worse, and then you have to deal with all that baggage. The irony is Job almost had all of those. The explanations for depression are many. So we have the experience of depression as common, and the expression of depression is consistent. And the explanations are several. It could be situational, it could be systemic, it could be satanic, and it could be spiritual. But the most important question is, how do you eliminate it? How is depression eliminated? What is it we need to do to eliminate depression? Turn to Job 7 with me for a moment. Job 7. And the very first step, if you're going to deal with depression in your life, is to recognize it. You need to recognize it. You need to admit it. Verse 11 of chapter 7, therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Joel admits it. I'm depressed. I'm not holding it back. I want to let you know how I feel. In his book called The Gospel According to Job, Mike Mason writes this, there is a point at which any man simply throws in the towel. He does not abandon his faith, necessarily. He just gets thoroughly sick and tired of trying to put a good face on things. And when things he is facing do not have anything good about them at all, this is not necessarily sin. It's just plain honesty. Job is a forthright and plain-spoken man, the sort of person who's not afraid to say what is on his heart. He said, we need grudgingly to acknowledge that such uncommon honesty may be one of the greatest virtues a saint can possess. Admit it. Now, why would I have to say that? Because you don't. We don't want to admit that. I don't want to say I'm depressed. I couldn't even imagine your... I know what your looks would be like. What? Why? Because if you say that you're depressed, that appears unspiritual. You see, you're not a spiritual man. Christians shouldn't be depressed. Christians, we are happy, happy, happy. That's who we are. Tell that to Moses. Say that to Elijah. Speak it to David. Talk to Job. Happy, happy, happy. No, sometimes we're overwhelmed. You see, and the first step is to recognize it. Just admit it. That's what Job did. And by the way, if you have trouble recognizing it, just look at the symptoms. Tears, lack of appetite, can't sleep, realizing that every time you look at yourself in the mirror, your affect just gets flatter and flatter. By the way, people usually notice that part, and they'll say, is there something wrong with you? Then you try to push that smile in. Oh, no. No, I'm good. We have to admit it. So the first thing is to recognize your depression. The second step seems odd. Research your depression. Seems strange. Research your depression. Now, on the one hand, research it biblically. Look for other people in the Bible that were depressed. See what God says to them, how they work themselves out of it. That part of research. But you can even research depression in another way. You can find out, how do I get better? How have people in this world got better?
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bo delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.